Well, good morning, church family. I am Pastor Daniel, and it's good to have you joining us on YouTube for our Sunday morning worship once again. Mike Parrington and I are recording this on Saturday, March the 28th, for use on Sunday, March the 29th. But it's good to have you joining with us. Today on our worship service, which is pre-recorded, we have Pastor Holly and her friend again going to join us. We have another family in our church who's done something cool at their house, and they're going to tell us about that. We have Aaron and Elizabeth Morrison who are going to lead us in some worship songs together. I'm going to bring you some announcements and a quick thought from Scripture, and so I hope that today you are encouraged in the Lord. Last week was our first iteration of doing pre-recorded service, and it was quite an interesting experience as I sat with my family and worshiped together and watched the video and was led in prayer by my own self on the screen. So that was a unique experience I've never had before, but I did get that chance to worship with Lisa and the kids, and that was pretty cool, and we got to do that together. Last Sunday, as I joined in, I logged into YouTube a few minutes before 10:30, and I noticed that there was 9 views on the YouTube channel at that point. Then we watched the whole video together, and at the end, I checked again, there was 45 views by that point. Later in the day, there was 140, and now I've heard there's somewhere around 200 people who have checked us out on the YouTube channel for at least a little bit. They've tuned in, and I'm so glad that you have as well. Also up on our YouTube channel now is the interview that I did with Dr. Elizabeth Morrison as on March the 15th. She allowed me to interview her, asking her questions about COVID-19 and getting some clarity on that. So that interview, we've asked permission, we've got permission to put it up on YouTube, and so you can check that one out. It's right on our same channel. But thank you again for joining in. Can we open in a time of prayer? Lord God, we do thank you for your greatness and your goodness, your mercies that you shine upon us day by day, and you make new every morning. Lord, I thank you for each individual, each couple, each family that is tuned in to worship together, even though we are not in the same building together. We thank you for the technology that's available that we can do this. I thank you for our church family joining together. And Lord, we want to have your name lifted up and glorified as we worship you today. And in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.
Hello!
Hello!
Welcome to Happy Quarantine Fun Times with Aaron and Lizzie!
Hello!
Hey!
We're going to play some music too!
So much fun in our social distancing!
Yeah.
There we go!
Very better.
Good.
Especially when you're singing.
You can't get my droplets.
And you can't get mine!
Oh.
Yeah.
Hello, people!
Hello,
from the Methodist Church family!
Hello,
we're excited to worship again with you. We're going to be singing Simplicity in the key of C, so feel free to play along with us.
Yeah.
will be singing I Will Rise in the key of D.
From the Ellises. We were asked by Holly this week to give a little shout out and let you know how God's working in our lives this week. We just wanted to let you know that we're good, we're doing well. I'm laid off now, so I have lots of time with the munchkins. We've just been hanging out on the 2-week mark here in isolation. Chris is at work. He's got some modifications, so he doesn't interact with customers, but we're very blessed by that income still coming in. So we're thankful for God for that. We were talking to Susan and Wes this morning, their internet challenge, so they may or may not see this. We love you guys. They send their love and they say hello. We were also very blessed. We were just asked to tell you how God is in and working through our lives. And we were very blessed today to have Holly come and drop off a little package. Sid, did you see what was in the package?
For Sunday school on Saturday and Sunday. We made, like, the little
Puppets?
The sock puppets.
Yeah.
And I was making one today.
Yeah, so it's keeping her busy. Sid and I had a beautiful art project this week. We decided to go with the stained glass windows. There's been a lot of pictures online, just kind of just cheering people up as they're walking through the neighborhood. They'll just see a beautiful stained glass in your window and just, I guess, an early Easter not out. So Sid and I had a lot of fun doing that, right? Mm-hmm. We had a lot of fun. We were also blessed this week to have Caleb be able to still continue youth, even in isolation. We just tell us a little bit about how that went down, buddy.
Yeah,
how did you do it?
It was pretty fun. It was, like, nice to see other people, and it was kind of interesting because we don't usually do stuff like that, but it was pretty cool.
Yeah, so we just used the Zoom app, and they got to see everybody's happy little faces. We just wanted to let you know that we miss you, we love you. We're looking forward to, when it's safe, to get back to our church service. Holly asked us to give you a verse that we are kind of thinking of this week, and that's kind of getting us by. It's something that's really, really hard for my wiggly one, but this is a little plaque that I bought, and we've been looking at this, and it's been encouraging us. Do you know what it says, Sid?
Be still and know that I am God. Psalms 46:15.
Yeah, so that's it. That's our verse to keep you going. And again, we are so thankful for the work of the church staff and the frontline workers and the grocery workers and the truckers and everybody who's keeping along. It really shows that we can come together even when there's such a hard and challenging time. Again, we just miss you guys and love you. Pray that everybody is happy and healthy and safe. We're just going to keep you all in our prayers and give it to God one day at a time. Okay? So, bye!
Bye!
Hi, guys! It's Pastor Holly here again with my friend Sam.
Hi, guys!
We've been hanging out around the house this week and talking about some different stories. And Sam, do you think we could share one of my favorite Bible stories with some of the boys and girls?
Ooh, what is it, Holly?
Well, our story today is found in the Bible in Luke chapter 5, verses 17 to 39.
Ooh, sounds like a good one.
It is a good one, and it's about four friends and how they helped bring their friend to meet Jesus. Did you want to hear it?
Oh, yes, please.
All right, well, I have something here to help us.
Ooh, paper.
And yes, but it's going to represent different items in our story today. Well, there was a man who couldn't walk.
Was it a sock man?
No, Sam, it wasn't a sock man.
Oh.
But his legs didn't work.
Oh, dear.
And the man laid on the mat all day long, day after day.
Was he tired?
Well, he was probably tired of not being able to walk.
Oh.
Anyway, he had four friends who brought their friend to see Jesus. You see that, Sam? We've got our number four there.
Yes, that's number four, Holly.
Well, the four friends had heard about this man, Jesus, and the miracles that he was able to perform and the things that he could do, and they knew that if they brought their friend to see Jesus, that maybe he could make him walk again. Well, they got to the house where Jesus was talking to a crowd of people.
Was it a big house?
Probably not a big house, but here's our house.
Oh, yeah. In the house, out the house, in the house.
Oh, Sam. But when they got to the house was so crowded they couldn't get inside.
Oh, I don't like crowds.
No, that's okay, Sam. Because the friends had a brilliant idea. They went to the outside of the house, and they went up a set of stairs.
No elevator?
Do you want to go up the stairs, Sam?
I'd rather take the elevator.
They went up the stairs to the roof.
Uh-oh.
The roof was a little different in those days. The roofs were flat on their homes. And do you know what the four friends did, Sam?
What did they do?
They cut a hole in the roof of the house.
Ah!
And they lowered their friend on the mat.
I have a question.
Yes, Sam.
What did they do when it rained?
What did who do when it rained?
The people. If the roof has a hole and it rains, they're going to get wet.
Yes, that's true, Sam. I'm not sure what they did.
Oh.
Maybe they all brought an umbrella? I don't know.
I hope so.
I hope so, too. Anyway, they lowered their friend on the mat through the roof.
Oh, my goodness. Do they have, a safety harness?
I don't think they had a safety harness.
Oh, boy.
And they lowered their friend through the roof right to Jesus at his feet.
How dangerous.
Well, they were definitely brave.
Thank goodness Jesus was there.
That's
he
right.
He kept them safe.
He did. And when Jesus saw the man, he said, "Your sins are forgiven." Well, you know what? There were some people who heard that, and they were very cross.
Oh, no.
How can Jesus forgive sins, they asked. Well, Jesus said, Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven than it is to say, get up, pick up your mat, and go home? And you know what happened?
What happened, Holly?
The man stood up.
He stood right up, eh?
He stood right up. He could walk.
On his feet?
On his feet.
No wheelchair?
No wheelchair.
Oh my gosh.
And he folded up his mat, and he walked out of the house.
You don't say.
True story.
Oh my goodness.
You can find it in the Bible.
That sounds like a good book to read.
It is a great book to read. And you know what? It reminds me that we can help our friends. And it also reminds me that Jesus has the power to not only heal us from sickness and things that are going wrong, but he has the power to forgive us of our sins, most importantly.
Oh, wow.
And there is no better friend than we can have than our friend Jesus.
Oh, great. Thanks for sharing that story, Holly.
You're welcome. You're a pretty good friend, Sam, but I'm really glad I have Jesus as my friend.
Yeah, me too.
All right, let's say goodbye to all of the boys and girls out there.
Bye, guys.
We'll see you soon.
See you.
So at this point, I want to give you some updates on what's gone on in our church life this past week and bring you some announcements that you need to know about. First off, I've heard of many different people in our church connecting with one another. I've heard of people making phone calls. I've heard of people texting one another, being on Facebook and emails and Zoom conversations and all these different ways that people are connecting with one another. And as the pastor, I really encourage. We put that call out in the last couple weeks to make sure that we are connecting with one another in those ways when we can't be getting together physically in the same spaces. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for following up with that. Continue, okay? Please continue. And we've got mechanisms to make sure intentionally we are covering everybody in the church. But let's have lots of those spontaneous and incidental connections as well. So keep up the good work, church. I really appreciate what you all are doing. I want to let you know a little bit about my schedule and self-care. A lot of you have been asking how I'm doing and wanting to make sure that I'm safe in the midst of all this. Let me assure you that I am taking lots of precautions. Yes, I've been busy. I've been busy especially with a lot of teleconference meetings and getting together that way with church leadership and in lots of different conversations, trying to adjust our church life to this new reality that's upon us for this season. So that's made my schedule busy. I have been around people in the context of some funerals that have happened in the last couple of weeks. But in it all, trying to keep social distancing practices and doing the responsible thing that way. I am working out of the office versus working out of home. Partially, our house is busy with our three kids at home. And Lisa is now working at home too, so me being at the office, but my office is a solitary place in a solitary building, and I don't come into contact with too many people that way, so there is a lot of distancing I am able to do while yet still being connected to as many people as I can be by teleconference means. So those things are going on. Now, I also, for accountability and self-care, I did take this past Tuesday as a day off, and I look forward to spending this Sunday and Monday as back-to-back days off with my family, so I'm going to do that and then be back in the office at work on Tuesday of this coming week. So that's what I'm doing. Pastor Holly has been working from home and being isolated that way. Now she gets into the office to do some photocopying and those kinds of things, but minimal time that way. Erin, our office administrator, she also is working from home, and she is pretty much set up to be able to do most things that way. So those things are happening. I want to give a bit of a shout out to Pastor Lloyd. I think we need to appreciate what Pastor Lloyd has been doing in the last few weeks for our church family. You may or may not know. So denominationally, he's got responsibilities over the foundation and the Lorne Park Foundation. And so he's still doing that in the context of teleconferencing. But as far as our church family goes, he's been involved in all the three recent funerals these past few weeks. And he's been really busy with that. Caring for those families, caring for our church family. He really does have a heart for this church and the people in it. So we need to appreciate Pastor Lloyd as one who, even in his retirement, is still giving very generously of himself to our church. He and Karen both giving themselves to us. In terms of announcements, I just really want to say a couple of quick things. First, again, and I want to stress this, I've said it before, but I want to make sure that if there's something you need, please let us know, especially in terms of maybe you need errands to be run for you because you need to be at home, you can't be getting out to the stores and into those public spaces. Let us know, and we'll see what we can do. We'll see if we can round up some people to give a hand to you. I also really want to know if you or somebody you know has been laid off work. I know those things are already starting in our society. People are being let go from their jobs as a result of businesses being mandatorily closed for this season. So please let us know if you or someone else you know of has been laid off. We can't help if we don't know, so we would like to know. Also, if you know of someone who's undergoing emotional stress, this is one of those seasons where our culture just has this sense of fear about it, and that lends a heaviness and a weightiness to everything. If you are dealing with extra anxiety, extra fear, if you just can't get this out of your mind and off your heart, if you're having difficulty processing this or coping with it, then please, again, let us know, and we'll try and pray with you, talk with you through it, and provide you with resources that you need. So please let us know if any of those needs are true of you. We have, as church leadership, we've met multiple times over the past couple of weeks by teleconference in trying to adjust what we do, how we do it, what do we do to stay connected while we can't be physical, proximity to one another, and we've got plans pretty much rolling and ideas pretty much on the go. We have a little bit I still want to talk to a few leaders about, but those things are all pretty much smoothing out. The last piece that really our leadership needed to look at was church finances, tithing, and giving. So on Friday night of this past week, I got a few people in our church who are in that field professionally, and so they've got a little bit of expertise in that, and we talked about what electronic giving looks like. So there's more thinking and research we have to do on that, but let me give you what right now is a current plan for being able to continue to sustain our church with tithes and offerings. First off, if you still prefer to use check, that still can happen. And the best way for that to happen is for you to mail that into the church, because that gives us the best stream of security. It arrives in the mail. People who are elected into positions of trust are the ones who collect the envelopes and get that counted and get that deposited into the bank. So by mail is the best way. Now, this past week, we've had a few people who have wanted to drop envelopes off to the church. So we are providing a way that's secure to do that. Again, it's not the best way, and please, neither in mail nor drop off, don't send cash. That's a bad idea. But if you want to drop an envelope with a check in it off to the church, the way to do that would be come to the church parking lot up to the ministry center building. There's a mail slot in the door. Don't use the mailbox that's on the outside wall. Use the mail slot in the door. We've got a box behind there. The door is locked to the public. There's only a handful of people who have keys to that door. So it's as secure as a locked door is secure. And we'll make sure it's just tellers who are picking that up. Now, we have a teller who's going to pick that up on Monday night of this coming week if you want to drop off tithes and offerings before the end of the month. But that's we'll need that in by about 4 o'clock on Monday. And so if you want to drop something off, Monday would be a good day to aim for because it will be in the box in the door for the least amount of time. Now, we're still thinking about direct banking options, but a current online giving solution is to use Tithely. And I talked to our advisors this past Friday, and we looked again at the Tithely tool. We compared that to some other tools that are out there. It is the best one in doing what it does, which is allows donations to be made by credit card online. So for that format of giving, it is indeed the best tool. Others have asked me about electronic giving in terms of e-transfers or direct banking transfers and those sorts of things. That we're going to have to do a little bit more looking into, so we don't have that set up right away. But that's coming, and those are conversations we're going to have and we're going to be looking at. But for right now, please mail in, drop off if that is more convenient for you, but mailing in is preferable, and then Tithely, and there will be information in the announcements email to give you direction as to how to set that up. I think that's all the announcements I need to make. I am sending out an announcement email, and you will receive that, and that will have a number of other announcements in it for you to look at. So at this time, I want to pray as we continue on our worship time, but I want you to pray also. So I'm going to give you a second to pause the video here now and pray with the people in the room with you, if that's your family, if that's just your spouse, if it's just yourself and God alone, then just take a moment to pray. So pause, pray, and then start back up, and I'll close us in this time of prayer. Lord God, I do thank you for our church family, and I pray protection upon each one. I pray that you would keep us free from those things that would bring us illness and sickness. Lord, that those who are suffering from those things right now would recover quickly from them. And Lord, you would hold us in the palm of your hand that way. Lord, I pray for those families among us who are still in that grieving process. Lord, those who have lost loved ones, we pray for them, we lift them up. In a time when they most need other people around them, but they are forced to be isolated, Lord, help them to feel supported. Help them to know that you are with them, but that their families are with them, their church family is with them, and surrounding them with care and with love and with support. Lord, I pray for the function and mission of the church, that we continue to care for one another, and I so appreciate you motivating our church to be calling and connecting with one another, even in a time when it's a little bit more difficult to do so. And I pray that you continue to inspire us to that end. And even as we are caring for each other, let us still yet have an eye to our community and be thinking about ways that we can be generous and helpful to the people around us who also are in need. Father, for those who are suffering from anxieties and fear and worry, Lord, we pray that they would have a sure confidence in you and in who you are. And so, Lord, we lift them up. For those who are undergoing extra financial stress right now, I know there are those who already have lost jobs, been laid off, and are undergoing those difficulties. Lord, we pray that you would provide, that you would give enough provision that they would be able to meet the expenses of life. And Lord, that would be able to happen without descending into worry and fears. Lord, I thank you for how so many people have been offering help that way and assistance. Lord, I pray that we would all get through this together. Lord, we love you, we trust you, and we know that you first loved us. And so we give ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'll be singing "Who You Say I Am" in the key of C.
So I'm going to start this morning looking at Scripture by reading Scripture. I hope as you're connecting with whoever else is in the room with you that you have a Bible or each have a Bible and maybe can read along and look along as we take a peek at the Scriptures today and through the next weeks. But this morning we're going to look at Mark chapter 2. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2. And I'm going to read the first 9 verses, and then we're going to, first 12 verses, and then we're going to step through the story together. Mark, chapter 2. When Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them, and they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "My son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately, Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you question these things in your hearts? For which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed, and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," and then he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." This is one of my favorite stories in all of Scripture, if I'm allowed to have a favorite story in Scripture, but this is one of my favorite. It's a practical story. It's a tangible story. You can hold this story in your mind. I remember Sunday school lessons of this story and thinking about the people who were up on the roof and tearing a hole in the roof and having this guy on the mat and all that would take for all that to happen. But it's also a deeply theological story. And I think it points to the first purpose for which Jesus came into this world. So I'm going to step through the story once again. I want you to follow along. In Mark chapter 2, verse 1. When Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. Where was Jesus? Jesus was at home, at his own house. His home was in the city town of Capernaum. Now, if you're thinking about a map of the Sea of Galilee, which is kind of teardrop shape, almost circular in shape, Capernaum is on the northwest edge of the Sea of Galilee. That's where Jesus' town was, and that's where he was living at the time. Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, would have been somewhere around the age of 30. Now, whether he was living at home and his mother Mary was living at home with him or not, we're not sure. It's not clear. But the scripture here is calling that his home. He was at home in the town of Capernaum when all of this took place. That's the context of what was going on. Then verse 2. And many people were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. So, why were there so many crowds? Why was there such a crowd around Jesus at his house? What were they attracted to? Why did they come? What were they there for? What were they looking for? Was it because he is Jesus and he's some celebrity? Is he well known? Was he famous growing up in a famous family? No, it wasn't anything like that. It wasn't predefined fame. Was he really fashion conscious and people really could use some tips on what sandals went with what cloak and so they followed him around and wanted his advice? No, it wasn't anything like that. Was it his great teaching where they marveled at his teaching? Well, no, he was not yet really established as a teacher. He didn't have authority in that way quite as of yet. What was it? What was attracting the crowds? Well, actually, we don't have to look very far else in the book of Mark to figure this out. Look at some of the previous stories just in Mark chapter 1. So he is crowded out in Mark chapter 2. Well, in Mark chapter 1, it gives some reasons why that might be. Look in verse 21. What's the heading of that section of verse 21? Jesus heals a man with an unclean spirit. There's a whole paragraph of a story where Jesus did a healing. And then later on in chapter 1, verse 35, Jesus is preaching in Galilee and talking to the crowds. But there's two other stories in Mark chapter 1 of healings. There is some teaching, but there are also healings. Look at verse 29. Immediately he left the synagogue, entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. And now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her. And he began to serve, and she began to serve them. And then later that evening, more people came around because they heard of this healing, and he healed many more. In verse 40, there's a story of the cleansing of the leper. And this person who has this skin disease, Jesus reached out, touched him, and healed him. It's not because of Jesus' predefined fame. It's not because he's from a famous family. It's not because of his great teaching. He was just beginning a teaching ministry. It's because he was becoming known. He was beginning to build a reputation as a healer. He had healed all these people, and now others were coming around when they knew he was in town, when they knew he was at home, and coming to be healed by him. That's what's going on. So that's why in Mark chapter 2, verse 2, there's all these people. There's not even room at the door for more people to come in because all these people are looking for Jesus the healer. And then verse 3, and they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Now a paralytic, this is not someone who has a mild limp, is it? It's not somebody who's using a cane. It's not somebody whose sciatica is flaring up on them. Now, sciatica is no joke, but paralytic, what does that conjure up in your mind? It's someone who does not have control over at least part of their body. This man was on a mat, lying on a bed that had to be carried around by four others. It would seem from the story like potentially he wasn't even able to sit up. Maybe his body was that much broken. But here's this paralytic man being carried around. Now, if that's the state of a man back in those days, in a labor-intensive, agrarian kind of a culture, what's this man's life going to be like? Is he going to be able to do the jobs that people are typically able to do? He's not going to be able to farm crops. He's not going to be able to farm livestock. He's not going to be able to do carpentry. He's not going to be able to do construction labor. There's very little in that society, in that time of history, he would have been able to do. He would have not had the capacity to take care of himself and take care of the people around him that he would have had responsibility over. In a society of tools, in a society of manual labor, a paralytic person would have very few options in life. That's the man that his friends are carrying around. That's his story. Verse 4. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above Jesus, and when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. Now, what would that look like in our modern context to open up a roof and let somebody down through it? I've imagined that a few times since I learned this story in Sunday school all those years ago. I always imagined this group of five guys on top of roof ripping off shingles. And then what are they going to find? They're going to find plywood, and they're going to have to rip off the plywood. And then they're going to have to get down through rafters. And then they're going to have to get down through insulation and vapor barrier and break into the drywall of the ceiling and finally expose an opening down to the room below. And then try and get a whole person on a mat of some kind lowered down into all that through all the mess. But that's not quite the case in Jesus' day and in the roof of Jesus' house, was it? I was curious, I was interested, so I looked up temperatures, average temperatures in Capernaum. So in that town, in the coldest month of the year, which is January there, the daily high average is 18 degrees Celsius. The low is 11 degrees Celsius. So if that's the case, if it doesn't get to freezing temperatures, then what does that mean the roof looked like as different from our modern roofs today? It wouldn't have to have the attic space. It wouldn't have to have the insulation packing. It wouldn't have all of the extras that we would have to dig through today. It would have just been some sort of roof structure that once you get through the shell, there you are exposed to the room below. That's what we would have been dealing with. That's what they would have done. And so they broke through the roof and they lowered the man in front of Jesus. And then verse 5. Verse 5 is really important. Verse 5 is the key of the story here. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, what? What did he say? He said something different than what you would expect. He said something different than what you are supposed to expect. I think the gospel author here, whose name was Mark, I think he's pulling a bit of a bait and switch on you. All through chapter 1, he is setting up Jesus as this healer person. All these crowds in chapter 2 are gathered around Jesus because he is a healer. He's also teaching, but he is a healer. That's what he is known for. That's why the crowds are gathering around him. And so when the men go through this big ordeal to get their friend up onto the roof, to dig through the roof, to let their friend down through, and Jesus finally addresses this man, what do you expect him to say? You expect him to say, be healed. That's what the gospel author Mark is leading you to. He's baiting you into that expectation. But there's a switch. That is not what Jesus says, at least not at first, is it? What does Jesus say instead? We'll look at verse 5 again, thoroughly. Let's read the whole thing this time. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, my son, your sins are forgiven. Who in this story was looking for forgiveness of sins? Nobody was looking for forgiveness of sins. The four men who dragged their poor friend up onto the roof and let him down through because there wasn't any other way to get him to the feet of Jesus, to have him addressed by Jesus, what were they expecting? They were expecting healing. What was the whole room full of people expecting? They were expecting healing. What was the poor guy on the mat expecting? He was expecting healing. Everybody was expecting healing. Forgiveness of sins, hold on a second. Forgiveness, there's other ways to get forgiveness of sins in that day and age, in that culture, in the Old Testament covenant. The way to get forgiveness of sins was go to the priest. Go to the priest at the synagogue or at the temple, offer an offering, and forgiveness of sins was given to you and granted to you. Nobody was looking for forgiveness of sins. They were looking for healing. But here's what Jesus did. Your sins are forgiven. It speaks to me of the priority of Jesus. Healing was sought. Healing is what was expected, physical healing. And what Jesus offered, least what he offered first, was salvation and the forgiveness of sin. And that is the priority of Christ as he came into our world. And when Jesus saw their faith, he he said to the paralytic, "My son, your sins are forgiven." Now then some of the scribes, verse 6, were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" So now suddenly there's this big debate. Because Jesus said your sins are forgiven, now there's a debate. Nobody can forgive sins. Only God can forgive sins, and that's true. That's how the Old Testament system was set up. The priest couldn't actually forgive sins on the priest's own authority. The priest was the mediator between a person and God. And the priest was a channel. The priest was the performer of the ceremony and the rites and the rituals. But it was only God who could forgive the sins of the people. And so when Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven," suddenly he's claiming to have authority that only God has, which is the very definition of blasphemy. That's what blasphemy is, claiming to have credentials and authority and responsibility that really only belongs to God. They were right in their understanding of things to accuse Jesus of blasphemy, because nobody else would be able to say that, but Jesus isn't just anybody else, is he? He is the Son of God. He is part of the Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus isn't just anybody. He did have the authority, and he was proving that authority in this instance. He came and has the authority to forgive sins. Verse 8. "And so immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, he said to them, 'Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise, take up your bed, and walk?'" That's a rhetorical question. The answer is obvious. It's much easier to say your sins are forgiven. Why? Because you can't prove whether it happened or not. It's easy to say your sins are forgiven, and nobody can prove you true or false. But what if Jesus had have said, "Get up, take your mat, and walk," and he didn't? Then Jesus would be proven false. And so then he does this. "But that you may know," in verse 10, "that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." And then he looked at the paralytic and said, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Right now, our town, our families, our households, our province, our country, our whole world is preoccupied, even obsessed with physical well-being. We are nervous of a physical ailment that might land on us or our loved ones or descend on our world and humanity at large. And it is foremost in our minds and in our thoughts. And we need to be responsible with that. I think we as a church are being responsible. I think we as a province, we as a country are being responsible. We're maintaining social distancing. We're canceling public gatherings. We're doing all kinds of things to adjust to make sure that something that is dangerous to physical well-being does not get spread through our society, through our culture, through our world, through our families, to the ones who we love, the ones that we know, and even people we don't know. We don't want anybody to be infected. These are concerns of us. We want to be responsible, and we want to listen to wisdom and follow wisdom in these ways. But I wonder what the gospel writer Mark would say to us. And I think he would say something like this. The forgiveness of sins is, in fact, the priority of God. Salvation in Christ is the priority of God. Hope in eternal life is the priority of God. These are the things that are guaranteed. Not everyone who came to Jesus was healed. When this paralytic was brought to him, the first priority of Jesus was not a healing. In fact, healing was only done as a proof that Jesus had authority to do the more important thing, which was the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sin is the thing that is, in fact, guaranteed to us. In 1 John 1:9, it says this, "If we confess our sins, then he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." In this time of unsurety, in this time of anxiety, in this time when many people are even afraid, when physical well-being is on the forefront of our mind, the promises of Scripture are sure. But this is the sure promise, that if you confess your sins, then you will be forgiven of your sins. And that is the confidence that we can have, is our salvation in Christ and our right relationship before God because of what Christ has done. Folks, next Sunday, what I want to do is I want to take some time and get our minds focused wholly and entirely on Christ and the Scriptures. And I want to do that through the practice of communion. How will we do communion when we are not together? Well, I think we could do it in this way. You need to prepare ahead, and I need to prepare ahead. What I'm going to do is I'm going to explain communion in a way that I'll be talking to parents about taking communion with your children. I will unpack the elements of the bread and the juice and what these things symbolize in communion and what it means that we do that in community together. What you can do to prepare is have some juice and have some bread ready at home. To take as an individual, a couple, as a family, whoever's in the room with you. So this coming week, get some bread. It matters not what kind. Maybe you have crackers, maybe you have some flat bread of some kind, maybe you have leavened bread. It doesn't matter. Have some bread. And also have some juice. Grape juice, some kind of berry juice, something that's red. It does, after all, represent the blood of Christ. But have those elements ready, and then next Sunday we're going to talk about and focus our minds and our hearts on that great sacrament that Christ gave to us, which is communion. And we will do that together, even while we are apart. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this story of Jesus in the book of Mark. Lord, this man, his friends, the people around were very concerned about a physical healing. Jesus had a reputation of being a physical healer. Yet when presented with that great and real need, Jesus did something that was different, something that was unexpected, something that was even more vital, and that was he forgave sin. Lord, help us to hold right priority even in the midst of all that we are going on in our world and all that we are living through right now. Help us remember to have confidence that you forgive our sin. Lord, for those who have not confessed to you, we offer that confession. We admit to you the things that we have done that are not pleasing to you. We admit to you the things we have done that are contrary to your Scriptures, contrary to your holy law. And we ask forgiveness for those things. We want to have right relationship with God, our Father in heaven, and we want that through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Lord, as he is our mediator, make us right before God, we pray. Lord, I ask that you go with us this coming week. Be with each person in our congregation. Even as we are apart right now, help us to have unity in the Spirit, unity as a church, unity under Christ. And I pray all these things in the strong name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We're singing Cornerstone in the key of C.
So thank you once again for joining us this morning for a time of worship. Next Sunday, we're going to take communion together. So again, make sure you've got some bread assembled. Make sure you've got some juice and in some way be able to take that together with the people in the room where you are. And we will partake in those things together next Sunday. And now may the love of God be yours fully. God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.